This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode Vision 2020. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. For many scientists, climate change is the main issue they want to focus on in 2020, and they want to be part of the solution. But that often involves air travel to conferences or to research sites, and that means they're contributing to the problem by putting tons of CO2 into the atmosphere. Can this be avoided? Alan Yu reports.
A few years ago, climate scientist Nader Jivanji had just gotten his PhD.
So that's, you know, an early stage of your career. And, of course, you want to establish yourself and you want to make sure that people know you and they know your work. And so for that, it's important to go to conferences.
Welcome to today's explorations of the future science.
And he went to a lot of conferences. He would go to 4, sometimes 5 a year. And this is important work for scientists and academics. They go to conferences to tell people what they're working on, find out what everyone else is doing, meet collaborators, look for jobs.
You know, I remember one year trying to, you know, cast a wide net and saying to myself, well, you know, there's a meeting of earth scientists in Europe, in Vienna.
He decided to go.
But at the same time, I've got small kids. And I didn't want to be away from them for too long. So it was a week-long conference. I didn't even go for the whole week. I think I stayed maybe 3 nights. Made the flight out there, gave my 15-minute presentation, you know, went out to dinner, I went and saw some talks.
It went well. He got what he wanted. But on the way back, something didn't feel right.
I was just struck by the extravagance of it all. The expense of the travel, the distance traveled, the short time that I was there.
He thought of the book Being the Change from fellow climate scientist Peter Kalmus about traveling slow, flying less to reduce carbon emissions but also to savor the journey. The carbon footprint of flying can be as much as 3 times as doing the same trip by train. A researcher in Norway calculated the carbon footprint of scientists in his organization traveling for business. He found that just their business travel of 24 days produces more carbon dioxide than the global average of how much people produce in a whole year. Nader thought he should not go to as many conferences and pledged to fly less. There was a conference in Greece last year that's exactly about his work, the physics of clouds and climate change, but this time he did not go. Instead, he'll go next year when the same conference will be in the US, so maybe he could take the train. This is definitely new among academics.
Feels to me, yeah, like a little bit of a tectonic shift where the ground shifts in a somewhat profound way.
One of the people behind this movement is Park Wilde, a food economist at Tufts University. He started a blog and a petition dedicated to getting academics to fly less.
I can taste success. Like, I feel so strongly that we can achieve the changes that we need to achieve without sacrificing what is most essential.
In favor of the petition are roughly 600 academics and a handful of universities or associations. The goal is not to shame people for flying. The goal is for people to think carefully about whether they need to fly, and for universities and professional associations to track and report the carbon footprint of flying.
Colleagues will immediately start to think of the flights that they've taken that were most important, either for their career or for the good that they do in the world. Imagine, I'm here in the nutrition school at Tufts University, I have colleagues who work on international hunger issues, and some flight that they take may be involved in saving many lives. Clearly, that is not the flight to give up.
Some colleagues also question whether one person can actually make a difference by giving up one flight. It's not like the plane is going to stay on the ground just because some professors didn't buy tickets. Hannah Knox has thought about this a lot.
It either falls into it being a matter of personal choice and an individual decision, or seen as not really relevant because what we should really be doing is looking at the structural changes that need to be made to society as a whole.
She's an anthropologist at University College London, and she had given up flying for an entire year. Part of her research is about how scientists and activists reduce their carbon footprints. some people have already worked on alternatives. Anand Pandian, an anthropologist at Johns Hopkins University, organized a rather unique panel last November of a conference of the American Anthropological Association in Vancouver.
Welcome, everyone, to Reimagining the Annual Meeting in...
Instead of people flying from across the world to be in the same room, he asked panelists to put up short videos of their presentations so people could watch and discuss online.
Someone described it, I remember quite distinctly, as one of the best binge-watching experiences in anthropology.
This was more than just turning conferences into anthropology Netflix. For a previous conference, Anand also helped organize local watch parties, so you could talk about the material with other anthropologists in your area. Anand says he did all this partly because of climate change, and partly because flying to conferences raises other barriers. For example, traveling to conferences is great if you have the money to fly, are able-bodied, and can afford to leave your family alone for a few days to meet your colleagues. But what about academics who can't do that? He gave one example of someone attending for the very first time.
Someone noted on Twitter, for example, that this was the first American Anthropological Association panel that they'd ever be attending. They wrote this from Karachi, having never thought it'd be possible to actually tune in to any panel at this conference because it was simply too far to travel.
And then he gave another example.
One of the most poignant presentations during that panel was made by a graduate student at Oregon State University who's undocumented and who's in fact studying the condition of undocumented migrants to the United States.
Mi nombre es Argenis Hurtado Moreno, and I am a DACA beneficiary. I was born in Michoacán, Mexico, and came to the U.S. at the age of 3, up until 2012 when the Obama administration...
Because the conference took place across the border between the United States and Canada, he was unable to cross the border to present in person.
Anand has the data and can see that people watched this particular panel from all around the world.
Philippines, South Africa, Greece, Colombia, Spain, Indonesia, Ethiopia, Denmark, Austria, Brazil. There are scholars in our field scattered literally all around the world. And I think if we were a little more open-minded about what it would take to bring them into conversations like this, we might find that we are actually growing our numbers with regard to those who might participate and share